on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral with you.
The city needs saving.
What are we going to do with the time?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
I'm from the future.
Because you can inspire.
My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you will. Heroes. Legends. You have failed this city.
All right, guys, welcome. You're listening to DC on CW, the Flash edition on Rain Man Digital. You can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher. Search DC on CW. Once you get there, leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. Also, too, we are on Twitch typically. Obviously, this show we are not because it is the holiday week, but check us out on Twitch as well. Probably next week, I think, we'll be back on Twitch, but this week, not so much. I am your show host, Ryan Denton. And in the studio with me is Bobby Doherty.
Hello, hello.
And yeah.
It's only us because it's Thanksgiving.
Yes, Thanksgiving. It's a holiday.
And shows don't stop on holidays anymore.
Apparently they don't stop anymore.
So we have to do them or we fall behind.
Yeah, we don't want to fall behind. If we fall behind, then the fans don't get to hear what we have to say. And that's depressing. Right?
Yeah, sure.
I guess. For some people, I don't know.
Do you think people get depressed if they don't hear us?
No, absolutely not. Nobody gives a shit.
No, people actually do. We're getting a lot more tweets lately about people finding us.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right. I did see that one the other day.
So
I don't remember the person who, but I saw that. Yes, that they found the
I
show.
I think it was Canadian.
Yes. That's awesome, dude. Maybe we'll get a nice following in Canada. That's how you say it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
When you're from there.
Right. Hey, out in a boot. anyways, today we will be breaking down and discussing Flash Season 5, Episode 6, The Icicle Cometh. The team continues to investigate Cicada and Caitlin's father. I don't even know. I mean, we're going to get into it in the episode, but this one was, it was a little bit slower. Is that?
A little?
It was a lot slower, but I would just... There were a couple aspects I thought were neat that we expanded on, but really this was probably the slowest episode we've had so far this season.
It was a struggle episode for me.
Yeah, and again, guys, like sometimes that happens. I think this one this is going to sound really bad, but we kind of needed this episode to flesh out these story arcs that we're working on. But you sacrifice an episode of, you know, having to do that, and
I usually don't pine for villain of the week.
Yeah,
but we weren't really finding anything; we were finding stuff.
Yeah, this was more of a
Dora the Explorer.
Oh, this was Blue's Clues. Yeah. We just got a Blue's Clues.
Yeah, because Dora at least has boots trying to fight him off.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. And she has a backpack. we'll get into it when we get into the episode. The first thing we're going to jump into is some news. So we've got an article here that I'm pulling up because I'm not good at my job. The Flash showrunner and Gustin talk Crisis on Infinite Earths plans. So, going all the way back to the pilot of The Flash, the series teased Barry Allen's apparent death in Crisis on Infinite Earths. Asked whether he knew how and when he intended to pay off the various teases, Helbing smiled and told comicbook.com, "Yeah, but that's all I can say." Cool, man. Awesome quote, brother. Yeah, but that's all I can say.
Can they do Crisis?
No way, dude. No.
Like, I'm afraid because we haven't heard anything about it in a while.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot.
It's a lot.
There's a lot of characters in that. And so it says here, he elaborated a tiny bit saying, Greg, talking about Berlanti, really has a sort of master plan of things, and I'm really excited about how he's going to pay off. For his part, series star Grant Gustin suggested, as he has for years now, that the plan is still to play out the crossover in 2024 so that timeline of episodes lines up with the events of the story. The future newspaper seen in the pilot was dated for April 2024. So we're going to 2024. We got five more years. Is that what we're doing?
Five.
Or
seven?
Seven. Jesus, dude. I'm struggling.
Ryan's like an animal. He only ages a certain amount of years.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what animal.
I'm in cat years right now.
1.5 whatever.
I think it is 1.5. Something like that. I don't know how you do this, dude.
Because, I mean, okay.
We talked. Okay, so we originally.
Let me go through this list real quick.
Of Crisis?
Tie-ins okay. to it.
Go ahead.
You know, Green Lantern. Justice League of America, Legion of Superheroes, The Losers, Teen Titans, Omega Man, Superman, Swamp Thing, Warlord, Wonder Woman, Legends of DC Universe. Those are just the tie-in issues to...
Those aren't even the main story arcs.
Those aren't even the main story arcs.
No, dude. No way, dude.
And so even if you were to tie in the main story arc, you'd have to make sure Wally West is back.
Right. He has to come back to the show, right?
He has to come back to the show. Like, even if you're going to take the heart of it, you know, you got to have Supergirl, Superman. That's fine. We have them.
They're coming.
Yeah, you know, Flash, Kid Flash.
Got him.
Everybody else, not so much there.
No. The thing is, like, when you look at the cover, okay, let's just, you know what? I'm going to, Crisis.
You just, yeah.
I'm looking at the cover because I'm
the
just.
The first cover. Yeah. Name everybody on there.
Yep. Okay, here we go.
The Cox first, people.
Yeah. All right, so the first image, okay, is a pretty iconic image, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seen it. Bajillion times. You've got Superman, Wonder Woman, Supergirl. I'm trying to like, this is the smallest image ever. That was, damn it. But you've got, I don't even know if I can name half of it. You got so many obscure characters on the cover of this fucking thing too. Like, dude, who do you, you've got Firestorm, Shazam. Like, dude, how do you do this? I don't think you can.
We were very critical of the handling of Flashpoint.
So that's what I was going to say, right? Like when you got into this, we were very, very critical about Flashpoint, like to the point where, and I can clearly say this, and I'm pretty sure that you're on the same page, that Flashpoint is by far the best Flash graphic novel and story that appears in all of Flash,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, we're on the same page. I figured you felt the same way, but I want to make sure. So we were very, very critical about that because we appreciate that story and we like it so much. With Crisis on Infinite Earths, this was a monster, monster crossover. Guys, like when we say monster, like what was the total issues with crossovers and main story? Is that like 50 issues?
I think so. I think the main story is what, 12 or 13, or was it more?
It's more than that, I think.
I'm drawing a blank because I only remember there's only two issues that I want, and I think it's 22 and 13, and one of them is the death of Wally West,
right?
And then the Superman carrying Supergirl.
Supergirl, yeah. I mean, dude, I'm just look Green Lantern, Green Arrow, Cyborg. I'm just looking at the cover of this, dude. The Wonder Twins are in there, dude. Like, this is redonkulous, bro. There's no way you can do this.
Yeah. So I'm on DC's website.
Dr. Fate.
Anti-Monitor, Cyborg, Firestorm, Killer Frost, Blue Beetle, Flash, Batman, Superman, Joker, Raven, Supergirl, Constantine, Hawkman. And I'm only on two.
Yeah.
Like, there are...
There's no way, dude.
Six, seven rows of characters that are in this.
It's not possible.
Not unless it's some big end-all, be-all of the Arrowverse.
But here's the thing, dude. There's so many characters in this. If you're going to end-all, be-all of the Arrowverse, it has to. You legitimately have to have Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and Legends, the whole season of all the shows.
Doing this.
So, like, at that point.
And we know they're not going to make it to 2024.
It's got to be a year-long fucking crossover.
Yeah.
That's the only way you do it. Dude, okay. Now, I'm not saying that I don't think it would be badass. Can you imagine all four shows and it's just a year long? Like, they don't even, like, they just air it and it's the show and all the characters are on every show?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be dope. Don't get me. I'm not saying it wouldn't be cool. I'm just saying I don't think this is possible. And the thing is, guys, and the reason that we're so critical about these things is these are huge story arcs and huge things that happen in the DC universe. And for these things to happen, a lot had to align. on a TV show, there's a lot more hoops they have to jump through. And I just don't think they do these things justice the way they need to because of how many characters and licenses they have to go through.
Okay, so there's 12 issues in the main story arc.
Okay.
And then the crossover is like another 25, I want to say, like with the tie-ins.
So about 37 issues.
Yes.
So let's just round it up to 40 because I'm sure there was. So, dude, that's – there's no way, dude. I mean, don't get me wrong, guys. It would be neat if they figured out a way to do it, but there's no way, dude. Yeah. It's just not
doing it right.
Not doing it the correct way, right. You know, and with the track record with Flashpoint, I just don't think they can do it.
And I think they made a mistake by just naming it that at the beginning, you know, Lost in a Crisis, and people think it's Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, people got all excited about it, and yeah, I just – neat concept, but I just don't think
they can do it. Yeah, the 7 years thing is, I think, the biggest push, because then we're getting into, what, season 12 or 13 of some of the shows.
Yeah, that's like –
And
look, not everything is going to get that far, dude.
No,
no way.
Supernatural is basically it.
Yeah, and the only reason that Supernatural has gotten that far is it's grandfathered in, and the main characters want to keep playing the characters. That's it, dude. There's no other. It's not going to happen. I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but
it's really not, and that's why I kind of wanted to discuss it. It's like we want to bring the reality to the situation.
Yeah,
because they keep mentioning it, and it keeps coming up. The newspaper keeps coming up, but. We're not going to get to 2024, so there's no reason for them to say.
Why even say it?
We're going to make it. And then, you know what? If I'm here in 7 years, okay, I'm old.
If I'm, yeah, dude, seven. Oh, my God.
That's crazy to think about it.
I'll be 40, dude. No way. No.
You're going to retire from radio before then?
Yeah, retire from radio.
I'm taking my 401k and get the fuck out.
Mike, where's my 401k? Anyways.
You can have some water on the way.
Anyways, guys, that's the only article we have today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Season 5, Episode 6, The Icicle Cometh. But first, a quick break.
I'm already helping a bunch of idiot do-gooders. Sorry, I'm up to my fuzzy hood and teamwork.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
This is Star Wars from the Butter Tank Exclusive.
All I'm saying is that someday we may be ready for a rated R Star Wars. But right now, putting the Star Wars name on things where people are already confused with Rogue One, and now you're throwing a rated R rating, it's too much confusion. It's not about Disneyfying. It's about making sure the mainstream audience and general audiences understand what's going on. Can you imagine that, dude? You go to see Star Wars and it has a rated R rating on it. You're like, what?
Yeah.
What is this?
And on top of that, it's kind of like, for those people, those fans that want a rated R movie, you guys do realize that Star Wars was made for a younger audience.
Yeah, you know what? If you want something more adult, go look up keywords on Google here. Star Wars parody porn. There you go. That's mature content right there for you. there's lots of shooting in people's faces and all kinds of things.
TheBatTheTank.com for more details. And get ready for an excitingly good time. Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Back to Tank. Add us to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
Even that part when he's going to look for it and you're in the middle of the stream and he takes a shovel and he's moving two top rocks with it. And he's kicking rocks, and there it is.
Yeah, you're telling me you buried this box years ago,
where
right?
Where it could flood.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is this?
That's what I was talking about when it comes to the logic.
Right.
There's like even things that were just illogical thrown in this movie. I'm like, come on, I understand B. Because B movies, there's been some atrocious B movies, but the B movies is some of the cliches, some of the stereotypes, some of the over the top action and violence, some of the bad acting, the sleaziness. But there's illogical decisions being made from a directing and writing standpoint. It has nothing to do with the actual movie per se. It's like, come on, you're telling me you couldn't have had a couple PAs say, hey guys, you know what, today you're going to dig a deep hole about 6 feet deep. Please start digging, and then we're going to bury this box in there. How right. hard would that have been?
Listen up, cowboys and cowgirls. You can now listen to Weird West Radio every Sunday. Only on Rain Man Digital.
Well, I'm not plotting to kill Barry Allen. I'm listening to Ryan Denton on Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
Yeah. Since Stephen Amell. I mean, I just like, it's been a while since like that photo. And I was like, oh yeah, that was, well, I also got to take a photo of John Barrowman and he like butt touched. And because his photo, weird. His photo shoots are the best. Like, because he's such
a butt touch?
Because of butt touches. Like,
okay. Well,
no,
make
like,
sure I don't.
Make sure I sign up
no,
next time.
No, he does
do front touches?
I think he might. You just have to ask him. He's, because like, he comes out and he's like, anything goes. Touch. He anything comes out to the goes. Crowd and he's like, anything goes except for like mouth to mouth.
So I can go ass to mouth?
You can.
Basically.
You could ask.
Wow.
I think you I'm going to dock with them.
Request that for a photo op, Bobby. I'll pay you top dollar.
Get ready, John Barrowman.
Check out the new DC fan show, DC on CW, covering topics from The Arrow, The Flash, and the new upcoming television show, Legends of Tomorrow. Head over to RainmanDigitalMedia.com to get more details.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, guys, we are back, and we are actually going to jump right into Season 5, Episode 6, The Icicle Cometh. This one was directed by Chris Pepe?
I think it's Pepe.
It's
but...
probably Pepe, but I just wanted to say Pepe.
Pepe?
Pepe. Written by Christine Kim and Joshua Gilbert. We're going to jump right into the biggest thing that we got revealed. And I honestly legitimately didn't think this was going to get revealed this quick, to be completely honest. I thought this might be, but we're talking about Caitlin's dad. Okay. In my honest opinion, and I'll be completely 100% honest, I thought this was one or two episodes too soon. I felt like there was no mystery here, dude. It was just, let's talk about my dad. Two episodes later, there he is. Does that make sense? Am I being picky about that?
No, I think you're right. The ending was probably could have been mid-season finale worthy that we find the dad.
Yeah, which is only what, a couple more episodes? Like,
I think we got one more regular episode, one the crossover, and I think maybe one or two more.
Yeah, so three or four episodes.
Yeah, and the crossover doesn't count, so it's technically two or three.
Yeah, and I just, the reason that I say that is that I've said it multiple times on all the DC shows, on CW shows, is that I'm a very big fan of reveals and these cliffhanger kind of things. And I think if they would have given us two or three more episodes of them tracking the dad down, right? And, you know, doing more detective work and trying to figure this out, I think it would have had a little bit more impact on me.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Was it the fact that they found him so fast, or they found him so fast, they turned him so fast, and he's gone?
Yeah. You know what? It's the second, and that makes a little bit more sense. Not that they found him so fast, that, you know, we find out that, you know, he's his own fucking meta. He developed what, cryo malignancy?
Yeah, because
did I even say that correctly?
Yeah, because he had cryotherapy to cure his ALS, and that's why he was up there, and that was the whole thing. And
I just think that
it started crystallizing his skin and overwriting his DNA. Yeah. And you know, we had this theory that Caitlin was gonna be like an X-Men meta.
Right.
Like it was in her born DNA. That way.
Yeah.
And we find out that she is just the same thing as him because she could have ALS too, and we want to be able to cure it, so we gave it to my daughter.
I mean,
it was just the whole storyline that's been built up for, you know, what are we, 5 seasons now?
Yeah.
Of like, who is Caitlin Frost? Who, you know, or who is, you know, who is Caitlin Snow and Killer Frost? And yeah. Why? Why is it like this? It was just like, here you go. 42 minutes in.
It just, I think for me, I think that it was a, hey, here's my dad. Hey, here's my dad turning to a bad guy in such a quick burn. It was just so fast, like a flip. I think it didn't give me time to process that we had just found her dad. Right.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that they were sticking with the script of Arrowverse by most of the metas that we've seen are either caused by the original particle accelerator, right? Or DeVoe, or now the satellite crashing.
Yep.
So they've stuck with in the Arrowverse universe, all of the metas that appear are because of, you know, man-made or a natural disaster. No one has been born a meta, correct? That we've ever seen.
No.
Okay. So I'm okay with them explaining why Caitlin, you know, wasn't a, how she got her powers. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it because it sticks with the Arrowverse lore. But I think the thing that bugs me about it, and I think I'm on the same page with you, is that the original metas in the comic book were, some of them were born metas. And it was a DNA, like X-Men kind of.
Yeah. It's in your blood.
It's in your blood. So I think ultimately I understand why they went this route. Right. It makes sense because the Arrowverse is that. But I still think it's kind of a cop out.
This medical meta thing is another scary moment because now it's just like, oh, well, you know, this cryotherapy caused them to be metas, caused the split personality. What other science out there can cause meta powers?
Right. And I think that's another thing. It's made another loophole on how we can make – again, I understand what they're doing. They've got to – if they want this show to go longer, right? And because Flash is the meta-based show, right?
Yeah, you got to have other ways to make them.
You got
to
have other ways to make metas. The particle accelerator, you can't. You can't do it now. It's been, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 years now? You got to be careful with that. Now – it's smart of them to do this. Like I buy the satellite crashing. I buy it, dude. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
That doesn't bug me.
Full of dark matter. And, yeah. You know, even the cicada metal shop chunk
makes sense now.
Yeah.
Right?
Everything that they did with that was okay.
Yes. It makes sense. I think ultimately, I think with the dad, I think the thing that bugs me with the dad is that it was so quick of, hey, here's my dad. Hey, my dad's bad. Hey, here's his master plan. And somehow he built this huge monster thing in the middle of nowhere for his plan. I felt like it was very, very
well, then don't quick. Forget. Yeah, don't forget. Okay, so yes, we have time. We have free time. Let's go find your dad real quick.
Right.
Conveniently, satellites are back up and everything over there. Oh, Cisco's hands can get us there. She starts doubting, or she's in love. Barry doubts it. They write off the Barry doubting it thing like in 2 seconds. Like, I think it was the next commercial break. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe I fell for this.
But when Cisco says it, it's, you know.
But oh. I'm just saying there was no anticipation or slow burn or even a week of us going, dude,
man, is this guy bad or not?
Like, he's giving me like a creepy vibe. Like, what about him? Like, what do you think? What do you think he's going to be?
Yeah, they didn't give us enough. I think you're right, Bob. They didn't give us enough time to doubt it. Yeah, to process and doubt. And
me and you have had these discussions about Netflix gives you all 13. DCU gives you one episode at a time. And we've talked about, like, sometimes I like to process stuff and not necessarily know right away what the fuck happened. Yes. Because I can just skip to the next episode.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we had in this situation.
Well, I even think, too, sometimes pacing is smart. So, okay, to your point, on, say, this season of Daredevil, okay, they did a really good job of, yeah, they gave us something halfway through an episode, but they didn't reveal the rest of it halfway through the next episode.
Yeah.
So I got a full episode, technically, in timing of episodes.
Yes.
To process what was going on. And I think one of the things that we talk about a lot too, I'm going to relate this to horror. Same thing with horror.
Whores?
Horror. I can't say horror correctly. I don't know.
Whores.
I relate it to that because a lot of some of the best horror movies are when you don't actually see the monster until the very end because your imagination and your thought process scares the shit out of you, right?
Yeah.
So with this process here with Caitlin's dad,
I would have liked to have a little bit more time to develop, you know, they typically play out like, you know, one person doesn't believe this person. So now, you know, we end up at the end, we find out in the end he was right, but the whole time that person gets kind of, you know, shafted the whole time. And then they find out at the end, oh, he was correct. Well, I just think that with Cisco saying, oh, I don't believe him, or, you know, whatever. But then now he talks to Barry, and then Barry, and then it's just, it was just so fast. Well, the pacing was so fast.
And I don't, you know, we're not like huge monologue people, but at no time did anybody look at Cisco and be like, you hate every Wells that comes through here. How can we believe you about, you know, and do a throwback somehow to that, to where it's like, how you don't have a good feeling. You don't like any fucking Wells. So what the hell? You know, and they've helped us out for all these years.
That would have made way more sense, dude. I just feel like it was such a quick paced thing.
Yeah.
It was just boom, 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 boom. Like in the sake of just getting rid of it, you know, like it was almost like the writers were like, okay, we really got to wrap up this Caitlin dad thing. Let's just do it real fucking quick.
Or
boom, 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 boom.
Hey, you know what'll help us in episode 7? What? Killer Frost. Well, we haven't brought her back yet.
Well, guess what? Bring her the fuck back.
Can you do that next episode? Fuck, we got to bring her back next episode. I don't know how I'm going to do this.
Kristen, I need you to write Killer Frost back. But why? She's not back. We need her for the next episode. Just fucking do it, okay?
Yeah.
That's what I felt like it was, dude. It felt like it was so quick processed that it just didn't feel natural, dude. It wasn't paced right. And, you know, I will say this. He looked cool. I mean, he looked a little bit like Martin Short from Santa Claus 3 in certain shots. But
he looked like Martin Short had sex with a White Walker.
I don't know, man. Is it weird? Okay, let me ask you another question. Okay, this is just another question pertaining to Caitlin's dad. We have a ice meta. Okay, we have Killer Frost. Is it weird to you to see another ice meta, like in general? Like I know what they were doing with the story, but it was just like I get it, dude. That you can shoot each other, like it just is weird to me, right?
I always look at it as like it's okay. Well, we've had Killer Frost and Captain Cold,
but Captain Cold's not an ice meta. He's an ice gun. But it's just weird to me, dude.
I always go with similar powers.
I agree.
What's weird to me is that they haven't done anything with this futuristic Barry suit to make it fucking like Sub-Zero.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that too, because I did want to talk about that. So
I know we don't have any Cisco tech in there, but you think that it would be like some built-in heaters.
I'm telling you right now, -100, -400, dude, that is instant. You are dead. Like there is no, oh, I'm cold. No, you walk out and die. That's almost absolute zero. That is so cold that, like,
my flash can handle the cold.
Well, obviously he fucking ran in there and couldn't run, dude. I'm just like, I'm not even talking about Flash or XS. I'm talking about Cisco or Ralph. Dude, they would have instantly died. You instantly would have died. Like neither of their powers would have stopped them from dying in that situation. At least with the speedsters, I understand, because they can make friction, or, you know, their metabolism is faster. I get that. But dude, Ralph and Cisco would have been straight up dead. Like -420 degrees is you're dying. Like, I just don't, I'm going to see if I can put this into like something that people can understand. Like, I'm pretty sure Pluto is like -420 degrees.
You don't have to understand. It's been, let's see, it's cold right now in Arizona and it's like 64 degrees.
So that's so cold. That's colder than Pluto. Pluto is -387 degrees.
It's 61 degrees right now.
Yeah.
And we're cold in Arizona. You're in a hoodie.
Exactly. Thank you. That should put it in perspective, guys.
And we're inside. We're not even broadcasting outside. Guys, Mike let us inside this day. Right?
Yeah, we didn't have to sit outside in the garage to do this. I just think that was a little much. But, I mean, again, headcanon superheroes, whatever, dude, they can withstand it. Okay, I can get past that. It was just a little funny. But
I think overall pacing can work for you and can work against you. And it's not necessarily a slow play all the time.
Yeah. And I think I understand that some things have to be sped up, and I understand that certain things, I just think that something like this,
that has a monumental part of one of our main characters, and especially a character in the last season and a half that we've really, she's grown and she's become more of her own character, and not so much like we used to make fun of her for falling on dick. She hasn't done that in almost a season and a half. Mm-hmm. And now she's become a viable portion of this show that we look to, and she confides, and Barry confides in her, and so does Cisco. And she's, you know, and I think that to have something that means a lot to her like this kind of just kind of swept under the rug real fast is, I think, kind of a shame, dude. I think this could have been more. And I think with the pacing of this episode, it just killed it, dude. It killed it. And I think the whole explanation about where Killer Frost has been was a bit, I don't know. It seemed a pretty convenient. Or is that just me?
Okay, so the split personality voice inside the head thing, it's just a mental block, always been inside you. I feel like that's where Cecile's powers should have come in.
Right. Should she have not, like, but at the same time, if it's like some kind of weird meta mental block, I mean, maybe she couldn't hear it. I don't know, dude. This is the kind of speculation that I don't like, is when we don't know what's going on and we're trying to speculate on like canon and what we think is actually happening to explain what's actually happening.
Yeah. It just seemed rushed though. I mean, the whole thing and an easy out. It was a mental block. She's always, Ryan, the star has always been inside you. You just need to let it out. Believe in yourself.
Yeah, okay. Like, I just...
Right? I mean, that's what it kind of was. Like, if you believe it, you can achieve it.
Oh, man. Okay, well, hold on. I want $1 million. I want $1 million. I believe that.
Well, that's not real.
Oh, that's not real? Oh.
I'm talking about, like, your meta power.
Oh, I need a bigger dick.
Not a meta power.
Yeah, it is. I got Ralph's powers. It makes it bigger.
David.
I don't know, man. I think you're right, dude. I think pacing is so important. And this was just, everything about this was quick, you know? And I, you're right, dude. I feel like the mental block and the, you know, everything just seemed kind of like, okay, we need to get Killer Frost back. And I don't know if this has to do with, you know, needing her for something coming up or what, but did she look different though?
A little bit. Yeah, they did some costume changes there, and I don't know if it was like a darker strand of hair in her wig, maybe?
I don't know, but I thought the wig looked better. I thought it looked a little bit more natural, like her actual hair.
Uh-huh.
Whereas before, obviously, we could tell it was white. We could tell it wasn't her real hair. This actually looked legitimately like her hair.
This is where we need the girls or Steve.
Yeah. you just said Steve and the girls or...
But they, I guess I'm glad she's back.
Right. I guess, yeah, you're right. I'm glad she's back because we have missed her, right? We've missed that character.
They just needed to, I mean, do it better.
Yeah. I don't think that's the right phrasing, dude. I don't think it's do it better. I think it's just pace it out a little bit. This whole reveal and the way they did it wouldn't been a bad if it was 2 episodes or 2.5 episodes. I'm serious, dude. Like I would not have had a problem with the way they did this if it was
they could
slower.
Have they could yeah they could have mirrored it to like Barry and Iris meeting XS and you know and then her meeting her dad and then like getting to know him and then just have her heart broken that way.
Yeah, see, that would have been way better, dude.
Because then they could have run the parallels of like people meeting their parents basically for the first time.
Why do you not write for the shows?
I don't know, because I just make up stuff that I hear on other shows.
So. Oh, is that what it is? That's right. What show did you find that one on? Is Golden that CW Girls? On DC?
No, it was Golden Girls.
Oh, it was
a Golden Girls podcast.
It was a Golden Girls podcast. Oh, my God. The sad thing is I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
If not, well, soon on DC and CW. the Golden Girls.
Perfect. Who's doing that show? Do we have anyone that's...
Golden Girls, Mike.
Oh. Steve probably does watch that show. We did get something, a really neat reference out of this whole situation. We got a Batman reference,
yeah,
technically.
Victor Freeze.
Now,
This is a neat reference on a couple different levels. Obviously, if you guys don't know who Victor Freeze is, that's Mr. Freeze from Batman. Also, too, the other cool thing that we get about this is the whole cryotherapy is what he did on Nora,
yep,
on his wife. So this is a really neat kind of reference to the Uber Batman nerds, or the, I guess you could say, the ice nerds from, you know, Victor Freeze did cryotherapy on his wife. What did Nora have in the comic books? I never remember. Some kind of, was it ALS?
No, was it? No.
If it was ALS, that dude, hold on, I'll look it up.
And Nora Freeze is going to be in the crossover too.
Right. Now, do we know if she's going to be old, or do we know if she's going to be...
Well, she's going to be... It's Stephen Amell's wife, so I'm assuming she's not going to be old.
Oh. Right. She had a terminal... Nora's diagnosed with a terminal illness, and of course it doesn't say what
it
is.
Yeah, I don't think they ever
said it.
They didn't have a cause back then, because when you wrote characters, you didn't really care.
That's a good point.
Because you know what? They would have given her polio or something. Like, yo, we made a vaccine for that shit 25 years ago.
I don't think you need to put her in cryotherapy anymore, Victor. So.
I mean, I guess that's why you leave that vague, right?
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, dude. It could be anything.
So imagine 10 years from now, they're like, why would they do all that therapy on themselves and when ALS has been cured?
Yeah, there's like a long, there was a story arc where it was, she had like a rare blood type or some shit. I don't remember that one, but regardless, this is actually a really neat mention, a reference, because of the whole ice angle and Nora and the cryotherapy that her dad was doing. Do we know, and again, another thing that I ask about, do we ever see Caitlin's dad or Killer Frost's dad in the comic books?
We're talking about references that I haven't followed.
So. Yeah, exactly. So I'm just curious about that. And, you know, if you guys know about that, tweet us. Because I these are kind of things that I like to see connected. If they just obviously just brought this up for the show, it makes sense, right? But it would be neat to see if there was something in the comic books that might have pertained to that as well. But again, you know, with Nora... showing
Thomas Snow was Icicle.
Oh, well then, okay. There you go. Answers my question. God, I love Google.
Makes me smarter.
Yeah, makes me way smarter. Again, neat kind of reference, especially with Nora showing up in the crossover and in the Elseworlds crossover. And who knows? Maybe we see Victor. Who knows?
The funny thing is, there's like four different Icicles, but whatever.
Ah, whatever, dude.
But one of them was Thomas Snow.
Hey, woohoo! Anyways.
Icicles created by McFarlane.
Really?
Wow. There's like 17 creators, but McFarlane is one of them. I don't know. Again, who knows what version he made?
Interesting, dude. Interesting.
Does he become like a big bad or consistent?
Do you think he has the clout to be a big bad?
Again, I don't know what his motivation would be.
To freeze. What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. He just.
I was so going there.
You were going to go there? Damn it.
Yeah, I was like, what, is he going to fucking freeze Gotham?
Take two of these and call me in the morning. Like, dude, I. Gonna freeze Gotham. I love that we were both going there.
It's the only like modern day reference we have to Mr. Freeze is Arnold and fucking Batman.
Oh man, I love it. I love it. Oh man, that's good. That's good. We're actually going to talk about Cecile. Cecile and Ralph. So one thing that let's before we talk about Cecile and Ralph, let's talk about
the write-off.
Okay, so we talked about this before, and we read an article. We know that Joe was going to be absent because he hurt his back, right? He in real life, guys. So we knew that he was going to get the air quote right off the show. Obviously, he's not done on the show. He's just not going to be present for the rest of the season, right? Rest of the season or half the season?
They didn't say. I mean, it's undetermined how long.
Hey, man, you know, you got to be careful in those sex dungeons in your lower back, dude. I think is that what it was? We don't know.
Unreported.
Right. But the absence in this episode, and they mentioned it by saying he was out walking the baby.
Okay. Let me ask you.
Is he a dog?
Were you confused at first when Ralph's like, I'm going to go get Joe because he has his badge and it'll help me out a lot. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. We just read something and he's not on and he wasn't on.
Yes, I was confused.
And then it just seemed like such a force, like her acting of it, like, oh, well, he's, you know, he's out on a walk with the kid. And I was like,
huh?
Are you sure? Because the way you said this, like he's in the basement dead.
Oh my God! Like, he's in the basement dead.
It just sounded like it just sounded like somebody making up something.
She's got him in the furnace,
yeah,
cremating him. I just felt it was a smart way of him not being there. I bought that. The way that Cecile like reacted to it was a little goofy, dude. It was like, oh, you're folding laundry and Joe's probably dead now. Okay, cool.
He just looked a little guilty.
Yeah. Oh, I chopped him up and ate his liver with some fava beans. Like, I just was so weird, dude. Like,
if three episodes from now, everybody's like, where? He's still on a walk.
He's still on a walk with the kid. Where's the kid?
On a walk with Joe.
In heaven. I just, it was a little obvious, you know. I mean, I guess they're not going to slowly write him off where he's like, oh, he's on a work trip. Like, at least they're not, those are obvious.
In an investigation in Bloodhaven.
Yeah, like, that's just much, dude. Like, this is okay, but you can't just, every time that they need Joe, have some goofy explanation like this, right?
They, like, FaceTime him.
Where are you at? Oh, you know, fucking here. You know, it's just weird, dude. I think you've got to be... As much as I don't like the, like you said, an investigation in Bloodhaven excuse, you kind of have to go that route, right? This is just, you can't come over every time. Oh, he's out walking the baby. Well, fuck. It's 872 at night, or 837 at night.
My dad went to the store to get lottery tickets and cigarettes and never came back.
Oh, my God. My dad went and walked the baby and never came back. Like, dude, you just can't do that. Come on. Come on. That's dumb.
Yeah.
That's dumb. I don't even know how I feel about Cecile in general. Like, I didn't really give a shit about her getting her groove back. Is that bad? I just don't care, dude. I don't care.
I didn't think it was needed.
It kind of was just there, dude, right? It felt like they threw it in because they wanted to get some Ralph jokes in. Does that sound...
Well, we've always talked about odd pairings sometimes make it. And I think the oddest thing about it was visually on screen, you realize either how tall Ralph is or how short Cecile is.
Dude, she's like 4'10". She has to be like 4'10". That she's so tiny. She's like a hobbit.
I mean, and I think he's pretty tall, too. So.
He's like 6'2", I think. Yeah. She has to be like 4'6".
But a lot of times, those, like I said, those odd couples make...
Well,
and they have to always try them out every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think sometimes the odd pairings or the two characters that you don't think would interact correctly, you know, or be funny.
What about Ralph flipping his fucking wallet open?
Dude, let's talk about it because I about lost my goddamn mind. I was like, wait, there's no badge or anything. It's just a fucking picture. I was like,
I'm the DA and I'm Ralph.
I'm like, what?
He just like flips it. It's like,
well, like typically like, but the thing that was funny about it wasn't the fact that he used his regular wallet. It was the fact that he left it open for way too long. So you could realize there's no badge or anything.
Not even like a fake badge.
Yeah, there was nothing, dude. Okay. All right.
I mean, it did have his comedic moments and I guess overall, it did serve the purpose of the Cicada investigation. But
it pushed the main story arc forward. Sure, it did. And we needed that. We needed, especially with the satellites being up and all that, we needed to push the Cicada story arc forward.
Yeah, they have no excuse anymore. The technology's there. The technology's back. They should be able to.
Exactly. They should be able to move forward with the investigation on Cicada. And I think, you know, and I really actually like what they're doing with this and how we kind of see a little bit of his motivation. If that makes sense, we get to see kind of where I kind of have an idea of where it's going.
Cicada.
Yes. With Cicada. There's a writing on the wall, dude, on what exactly happened with him.
I mean, obviously, we don't know everything yet, but I can kind of see where they're going with it.
But it just shows when you slow play something that we really haven't got a shit ton of Takeda, and that if the Icicle character is going to be around, they could have done the same damn thing.
Exactly. And I think – now, let me ask you this. How are you believing in Chris Klein as a bad guy after what we've seen now so far?
I still hear and see Oz.
Yeah, it is difficult. And I think we had talked about this.
Because, I almost died trying to do an impression. And now he's like got stabbed in the lungs. And he's like, the power or the cuts make me stronger. And that's all I'm seeing. And then I'm like, oh, wow, receding hairline.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Oz.
He's getting old, man.
Well, so am I.
Yeah, so am I.
Mine recedes the other way.
I
got bangs.
Me too. I think it's, I don't know. I so far, I have enjoyed what I've seen. I don't think he's had that much depth with what they've given him, but I don't think that's his fault as a character. I think it's just kind of where how they're slowly doing this. Mm-hmm. I have enjoyed the acting. This, you know, when we saw him get him cut and how he was walking and kind of, you know, he has been very good in that aspect, and he can be menacing. You know, like you said, it makes the cut makes me strong. Like that was a pretty gnarly line.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely – there's writing on the wall where we see where he's going, you know, with Baraka slicing him open, or T-1000, whatever the hell you want to call that chick.
I'm kind of sad that broad went away so fast.
That was actually kind of cool, dude.
Because she's like, y'all fucking with the wrong person.
Yeah, like she's just fucking T-1000s out with those fucking blades and shit. I was like, damn, dude, we ain't never seen anything like that. Can she?
It looked good, too.
It did look – yeah, it looked really good, actually. It was – dude, what if she like would have done like the fucking T-1000 like finger knife?
Fucking diddled herself?
Can she turn her hoo-ha?
If you can make it in any shape.
Oh my God. So her clit gets like a pointy. Oh man.
That's not what I meant.
Oh, is that no?
I was talking about dildo fingers, fool. Jesus.
I thought like, you know someone messes with her and she stabs you with the clit.
Mutilated fucking vaginas.
Mutilates your dong. Mutilates your dong. One of the things that I was really interested in, and this is the second or third time we've seen the African-American doctor, the lady doctor.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I don't understand is why the hell is she helping Cicada? What the fuck? Like, okay, let's route out what we know about Cicada. Okay, obviously he's a dad. Obviously his daughter is in
The hospital?
Jeez, I literally blanked.
Right, I was there. Like, I don't know what's going on. I can't see him right now because I'm looking at my monitors. I'm like, did he stroke?
No, I just literally blanked out. In the hospital, we know that she was struck by a piece of the satellite, mm-hmm. right? We know that Cicada's knife is from the satellite. We know that he was injured as well, I'm guessing, from the satellite, right? Why is this doctor helping him, who clearly he has a cut that glows in his chest? Okay. Just because his daughter's in ICU, you're going to help this guy who obviously has a murderous rage. Because why? What is her motivation to help him?
I think you're going to find out that she has probably been affected somehow by Metis also.
Like what though? What would be a good explanation for her to help?
It's just like she lost her family to somebody, like a meta that Barry didn't take out. So she believes in the cause of him going out and taking out metas. I mean, but this was, I guess, was the first one that we saw that wasn't really a criminal.
Right. She just was living her life. Right. She was out.
Right. That's the first one.
Yeah. We have not seen a meta in a while that was just, she was just a meta. Right. She wasn't a criminal. She was out at the nightclub or wherever the hell she was, grabbing a couple drinks, having a good time.
She was about the DUI, and he was upset. Yo, Yo, breaking the law. Yo,
I need you to blow into this. I need you to tell me what your blood alcohol content is.
Do the ABCs backwards while walking this line.
Why did Cicada just become a black guy, by the way?
I don't know.
Like, he's about to DUI.
The citizen's arrest of Cicada.
You had two Jack and Cokes. There's no way you can drive. I just think
hand over your keys or die.
I just think
live PD Cicada edition
in CIS Cicada. I just think it's funny, dude. Like,
out of these metas going out and drinking, thinking they could drive just because they got powers. They get affected by alcohol too,
except for Barry. Barry can drink all he wants and not get drunk.
It's the 200 proof.
Yeah. I just think that I hope they explain exactly why, you know, she's helping Cicada out.
She's got to have some kind of strong motivation.
She's got to have a motive, right?
Yeah.
If she doesn't have a motive, it makes no fucking sense, dude. I would be even okay with the fact that she cares. Maybe she knew him and the daughter before they came in and now she's helping treat. Like, I would be okay even with that. That affected her because of his daughter. Sure. Okay. Or maybe she had a son or daughter that was friends with his daughter and they, whatever, dude, like, you got to give us some type of motivation, because if you don't, this is worthless, dude. What kind of doctor goes out of their way to, like, you know what I mean? Cause it's very personal. She showed up at his house.
Yeah.
To stitch him up. Like, okay. Like, you know, you better give us some type of motivation or this is going to be fucking worthless. But so far, it's been an interesting road. Let's jump into our final thoughts on the episode. I'll go first. I think we pretty much covered most of what we were going to say about the negatives. You know, the pacing was off. We felt like these things probably would have been better fleshed out in a slower pace. Caitlin's dad, even some of the other, you know, stuff that we got in this episode, it just, the pacing felt really off, about this episode. I felt like everything was rushed. It felt like everything was just pushed so quick to get back to a certain result. So I think those are, for me, that was probably the biggest negative of this episode. I dug the story arc of Caitlin's dad. I think we've all kind of wanted, once they even introduced the fact that her dad was still alive, we were all curious. So I did enjoy that. I'm glad that Killer Frost is back, because, dude, Caitlin's way hotter as Killer Frost. I don't give a shit what you say. Way hotter as Killer Frost. And I'm happy that, you know, I do actually like the fact that she can talk to her now.
Yeah.
I'm actually okay with that. Remember before, I was like, how are they going to do this? She's got to be.
Well, she kept leaving notes, remember?
Right. And I was a big advocate of the fact that they needed to have one or the other. So now I do enjoy that fact that they can talk to each other. I think that's very cool. And it also kind of alleviates my, like, okay, you have to be one or the other, because I was on that train big time. So far I felt like with Cicada, I feel like with Cicada, they're doing a good job of fleshing him out slowly. So we kind of learn something new about him every episode that he shows up. And I think that's good. I mean, as opposite to Caitlin's dad, this was a very, very good portion of, we learned a little bit more about that character. We learned a little bit more about his motivation. We also learned a lot about where his little dagger comes from.
Yeah.
So again, things that needed to happen, that, but they did it very slow. So I did enjoy that of the episode. The visual effects of this episode were really good.
Yes, definitely.
Everything about, you know, her changing into Killer Frost, her dad changing into Icicle or whatever the fuck you want to call him, you know, Jack Frost from fucking Santa Claus 3. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to call him. All those shots looked really, really good. I even enjoyed the shot where Barry and XS's lightning was freezing. That was neat.
Yes.
That was a very, very cool shot. And that actually sound of that too. The sound of the actual lightning bolts freezing was good. So again, some visual effects were really, really, really well done in this episode. So overall, I mean, it was a good episode, but I think this, and I'm going to be completely honest, I think this might be our weakest episode so far we've had this season. And that doesn't mean it wasn't a fun episode. Ralph, again, being funny. There's certain things in this episode that make it a good episode. It just wasn't on the level of some of the ones we've had so far.
Yeah. And again, I think the whole thing that makes it a poor episode is the pacing of it.
Yeah.
And it just, for something as big as Caitlin Frost, return to or Caitlin Frost, Caitlin Snow's return to Killer Frost and reveal of the dad that we've been looking for since we, you know, was it end of last season?
Yep.
For it just to come out and have the flip flop that quick. It just kind of spoiled it or ruined the whole episode for me.
Yeah.
So that's just where they have to do better going forward.
Yeah, you said it. You said earlier, pacing is everything.
Pacing works both ways. Yep.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for today's DC on CW, the Flash edition. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, Instagram, DC_on_CW. And with that, guys, we will see you next week.
People want cuddles.